This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Hello and welcome once again to another Vic Police Glow Show podcast. I'm your host, Jace Gipps, and it's great to have in the studio with me, as always, Gabby Glow and Jen Dixon. Hello, guys. How are you going?
Really well. Thanks for having us again.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
Actually, I should have not said hello, guys. We're recording on International Women's Day, so a happy International Women's Day to all the women in the studio right now.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
And we're also lucky to be joined by Constable Jeremy Oliver and Constable Courtney Coghill. Hello, guys. How are you going?
Hey, Jace.
Very good, thanks.
So much, guys. What am I doing? So I think given that it is International Women's Day, I might start with Courtney. Courtney, did you have a desire to become an officer from a young age, or was it a career path you chose later in life?
No, I definitely did have a desire from a young age, but I did wait until I was a little bit older to apply, just because I felt like it was important to get some life experience behind me, and I just didn't quite feel ready when I was younger, so I waited until I was 27, and funnily enough, I actually applied on International Women's Day in 2017.
Oh, really?
So
there you go.
1 year ago today.
Amazing.
And Courtney is still at the police academy. So
all
she
right.
hasn't graduated yet.
How far off graduation are you, Courtney?
I graduate on the 3rd of May, so I'm about 7 weeks away.
How's it feel? Excited?
Fantastic.
Nervous? Bit of both?
I think there's always some nervousness attached to the excitement. I'm definitely very excited to get out there and get stuck into the nitty-gritty of it all, but yep. I suppose also nervous for a bit of fear of the unknown, I suppose.
I've had plenty of friends that have just kept doing union courses and training one by one to avoid actually being in the real world. So it's kind of a bit daunting when you're sort of out of training and you know, could be on the street soon.
Definitely, yep.
And how about yourself, Jeremy?
Well, I'm a little bit of a late bloomer, being 35, so it's a career change for me. But growing up, I always admired what the police do. I come from New Zealand, you know, really admired what they do there. And so it was a late career change. It took me about maybe 2 years to decide to become a police officer and then apply and go through the process. And it was a really considered decision to apply.
I think New Zealand Police Force have one of the best recruitment campaigns around, don't they? They're really adventurous with their recruitment.
Yeah, especially what they've just come out with as well. It's showing the diversity in the police force.
I was in Auckland for the first time in January, and I saw virtually every bus shelter there's ads for recruitment for the police force over there. So apparently it didn't work for you. You came over here.
Yeah. Well, I knew that I was going to be moving here, so I thought I'd wait to apply to join Vic Police.
Are the forces in New Zealand and Australia quite similar, Gabby? And can you easily transfer? Have you got an idea of that, or is it really...
I'm not sure how the police work in other countries, but I do know, being ex-New South Wales police, so within the same country, it wasn't a simple thing to change from one to another. Because, I mean, there are different laws, there's different training.
Yeah.
We have different equipment that we wear. I mean, when I was up there, we had Glocks. This was prior to 2002, and we only got semi-automatics here maybe in 2008, maybe, something like that. So I came down here and there were the Smith & Wessons, which were like what I always thought was the Cowboys and Indians guns. That's how I referred to them because I'm very professional.
Probably different types of pepper in the pepper spray as well.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, it took me quite a while to apply to Victoria Police from New South Wales Police and then get into the academy, because I did an abridged version of the course of the training, which only took 6 weeks. I just had to get in there, do the physical stuff, and then pass all the exams. So it really took as long as it took me to do that physically.
Courtney, how easy was the process when you were applying?
To be honest, I was pretty blessed. My recruitment process went very quickly. I was only in the pool for about 6 months, so it was relatively easy for me. It's quite long-winded in that there are obviously certain gateways that you have to hit. First up, it's your academic testing. Then you go through your fitness testing, psychometric testing, your panel interview. So it is quite...
How many people are on a panel?
I had 2 people interviewing me.
Okay.
So it can be quite long-winded for some people, but I was one of the fortunate few that got through quite quickly.
Sounds intense.
I
can't... If there's one thing I don't like in life, it's being around a panel of people and being judged. I'm inevitably just going to fail, I think. It's quite a challenge. How about yourself, Jeremy?
Yeah, it took me about a year. And like Courtney, I think there's peaks and troughs. Each time you come up to a new stage, it requires a lot more preparation and a lot more time and effort. And then once that's finished, then you get a bit of downtime until you wait for the next stage. But I think also you got to refrain from getting too excited about getting through each stage of the process, because you don't want to think, oh, I've got it, you know, I'm going to make it, just in case you don't. So it's like almost holding back on getting too excited about getting towards the end, I think.
Gabby, do you remember recruitment, or was it too long ago?
No, I mean, I don't at all remember it. I remember getting into my first station in Sydney along the Northern Beaches, and you would know, Jeremy, and you will know soon that, and even the work you've done at your stations in the training, you get out there and you do all the things that you dream of doing. So you're jumping fences and you're climbing over and chasing people, and that's exciting.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think the environment's changed a lot now to when 1999 when I joined.
Do you enjoy the paperwork that's probably inevitable nowadays?
No, nobody does. Nobody does at all. But I mean, it's an exciting job, and it is a process to join and get through everything, but it's worth it in the end, because if you're going to go through that long process, it's because you want to do the job. You wouldn't go through it if you didn't.
Courtney, what's the average day like at the police academy for new recruits?
Your first 12 weeks are quite intense. You're learning a lot of law subjects and going through a lot of tactical defence training. They can be quite long days sometimes. I mean, it's only a 7:30 till 3:30 day, but if you live a fair distance from the academy like myself, it can quite easily turn into a 12 or 13-hour day by the time you've driven to and from and tried to fit in some exercise or additional study. It can turn into quite a long day. But I think one of the benefits is being part of a squad. You learn to lean on each other, and you do really help each other get through the tough times and help each other pull through for exams, and you learn different techniques with how to cope with everything. So I think it definitely gets easier as you go through, because you become a bit more accustomed to it. But it was a bit of a shock to the system for the first 12 weeks, that's for sure.
Were there any areas of the training that you felt a little bit nervy about that you later found that you'd succeeded with?
To be honest, I was probably more daunted with just learning how to best study again. I'd been out of school for 10 years and I never went to university. So for me, it was just relearning how to get the most out of my study time and learning how to study smarter, not study harder. So the way that I did that was just becoming really overly organized and making sure I had a timetable and I never sort of strayed from it. That's held me in good stead, because I've done fairly well on my exams and everything so far. So I think that's definitely what I had to try to cope with.
It really sounds like the kind of career path that you really need to have quite a broad knowledge of law, and I'm obviously on top of your game with fitness and interactions with community, how to speak to people, knowing pronouns, all sorts of stuff. You're probably set for jeopardy after it, right?
To be honest, I actually think the most important part is your communication skills. You can be the smartest person in the world, but if you can't hold a conversation with somebody that comes from a completely different walk of life to you, you will struggle in this job. I think policing, people get very scared of it, but to me, it's just knowing how to talk to people. Yeah.
The balance between being stern and also warm is probably quite a challenge as well at times, isn't it? Depending on the situation you're in when you're working with the public.
Yeah, it's, you know, your customer service skills. Having that self-awareness to know when to be firm but also fear. At the end of the day, we're all human beings and people just want to be talked to like another human being with the respect. So you kind of do need to have that ability to assess a situation and communicate however needs to be.
Who can give our listeners a little bit of insight into the LGBTI student network? We've spoken about it in a podcast before on the Glow Show, but for those that might have missed it or need a little bit of a refresh, it'd be great to hear all about it.
I had applied to join police and it took about a year to get through, and I got right up to the end stage where you get sent your offer letter and you have a few days to accept. And within those few days, that's when I really sat back and thought, gosh, you know, what type of working environment am I going to be joining? And I started to get cold feet.
Right.
And I was like, because historically the force has been quite homophobic, so I was thinking, almost kind of like wound myself up and didn't really externalize any of it. So what I did though was I read through the induction manual, and that induction manual that you do get from police talked about the LGBTI network, and I thought, well, that's a pretty good sign. If they've got it in their induction content, that's a pretty good start. I also had a chat to a few friends that are currently in police, and they talk about a big change program that's been happening for a few years now. So diversity and inclusion, not just with LGBTI employees, but also for different race, for female police. And I thought, why not join and be part of that change and a part of these conversations? situations, I feel like I'm pretty brave and I can call out a situation or I can have these conversations with people. And I didn't want to be part of the people that fear that and not join police. So although like I was sitting on a tram and I was like formulating how I was going to withdraw from the process and what I was going to write in this email. And it was really disappointing for me. But yeah, having these conversations, knowing that this network existed and that the organization's going through this change, I thought, let's see how Academy goes and let's make Academy prove me wrong and know that we're fully supported and this change is happening.
Obviously, the Vic Police Force has such a great community mindset and the interactions with Joy and other LGBTI organizations. And for someone like me that's been an LGBTI organization for over 10 years, I know that the relationship there is good and I assume that it would be such a great and inclusive place for an LGBTI person to be in. So it's obviously these relationships are very important, but at the same time, much work still needs to be done to let the wider community know that it is an inclusive space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes it's hard to find the information, you know, if you're not connected to an LGBTI organization like Joy.
Yeah, look, so we have a number of internal facing pieces and external facing pieces. So we do a lot of work with community externally through the LGBTI portfolio reference group. And we've got about 13 or 14 organizations that sit on that portfolio reference group. And they help us to understand what issues community are facing, if there's anything we need to be looking at, putting our minds to, but also just gauging what the appetite is for, you know, certain events or whatever it may be. We're doing some documents at the moment that look at definitions and fact sheet, providing the right tools for members when they're talking to community and making sure that their language is inclusive. So yeah, there's a lot of work we do externally, but internally there's also pieces like Jeremy said with the LGBTI student network. We obviously have in our HR department, we've got a workforce inclusion and diversity department, and that looks at all of our employees and how we treat them, making sure that our systems are all talking to each other respectfully and that we're making sure that employees are supported. So yeah, it's really crucial. It cuts across a number of different areas, and so it's not just one singular area like mine that looks at it. We have, you know, corporate champions across the organisation. We've got many commissioners that are involved. You know, Andrew Crisp comes in here all the time and does a regular spot. We've also got the chair of the portfolio reference group is Assistant Commissioner Steve Fontana, who we had in late last year, as well as the chief going out and supporting LGBTI events. So across the force, we have just so many people that are supportive and inclusive with LGBTI, and that makes all the difference. I mean, we want people from community to join. We're really looking to increase the LGBTI membership. We've got a lot of allies, which is fantastic, and a lot of LGBTI people just love to get more community into the force.
Great to see in the last few years organisations like Vic Police also making sure that that representation is there for LGBTI communities. And you must provide guidance to other corporates and other organisations that might want to be doing the same.
Absolutely. I mean, we work with a lot of external agencies, particularly intergovernmental agencies. So quite often we have various groups approach us and say, hey, what are you guys doing in terms of XYZ? So it might be in relation to how we treat our LGBTI employees, it might be our external facing pieces with our systems. You know, a lot of the more inclusive parts of community, you know, they take a while to develop, particularly when you're talking about IT systems. You know, that can be very lengthy and very expensive. But the important thing is that we're part of all of those conversations cross government. And we try and influence where we can, if possible. So it is good to be engaged across a number of sectors.
Cool. The LGBTI Student Network. So what's it all about?
The network, it's a group of LGBTI employees that identify. So not allies. It's people that identified. And we meet once a month. And it's really a chance for us to get together and just talk amongst ourselves about what our experiences have been like. We're all at various levels throughout Academy. You know, there's people that have just started, there's people that are about to graduate. So you can really network off those people to see how their experience has been throughout Academy. We also celebrate and organise things like We're at Purple Day. I believe we also do Ida Hobbit.
Yeah.
There's support through the marriage equality campaigning.
Great.
Which was amazing. We also marched in Pride. We've just had the offer to go and march up for Chill Out Festival.
Right, yeah.
Fortunately, I'm working. It's a network where we can network with our fellow employees, but also get to celebrate and organise these really key events for the community throughout the year.
Hot and steamy day on the Pride March, wasn't it?
Oh, we melted. Our uniform isn't the most breathable, but...
So I think the network was established probably as a result of the Victorian Equal Opportunity Human Rights Commission report at the end of 2015, where Victoria Police looked at the results of that study and thought, well, what can we do to make sure our employees feel that they're welcome and included? And so internally within Victoria Police, working to create our own network.
Cool.
And similarly at the Police Academy, they did the same. So they made sure the network was up and running first at the police academy to make sure that recruits and members who had just joined and were studying and training felt supported, like Jeremy said. But we had to make sure, because prior to that network, we were aware of some recruits who were part of the LGBTI community who didn't feel safe or confident enough to be out at the academy and within their own squad. So we addressed that by looking at what can we do to make people feel safe to be themselves. Because if you're not being yourself, you're not going to be getting the best output and you're not going to be getting the best results from your studies.
Courtney, your time in the student network so far, what do you think you're most proud of?
I think I'm probably just most proud of being part of the wave of change within the academy. I've had a very positive experience. I've been out with my squad from day one. There are other recruits that aren't sort of as fortunate as I am and probably don't feel as comfortable to be out with their squad. So that's the other thing that I would probably drive about the student network, is that it is very confidential. Nobody knows the list of recruits that are a part of the network apart from the people that are in the network. So if recruits want to join but they don't want people to know that they're in it, nobody finds out.
Right.
So I think that's the thing that I'm most proud of, is that there is that connection that you can have with other people that are from the same community group as you. And it's not even about talking about issues that you have. It's just about supporting each other as well and having that human connection with other recruits that are outside of your squad. So that's what I've probably enjoyed most about being part of the student network.
Nice. Jeremy, is there something in particular you're all working on at the moment?
Well, I'm now out into the workforce.
Yep.
So I'm not part of the network.
Oh, right, yep.
At Academy, but we just launched the organisation-wide network.
Yeah, the LGBTI Pride Network.
Right. Which is, okay, yeah.
So I think I'm most looking forward to being part of that. And also, once I get into a station in a few weeks, becoming a GLOW. So I think that's going to be something that I'm going to be proud of. And also hearing from other members of my squad who are allies are signing up to become a GLOW as well. So I think, you know, that's what I will be most proud of.
And we've got 257 GLOWs.
It's 257 now. 257, I was thinking,
yeah,
it was around the 100 mark.
No. So it was about 198 last year.
Gosh.
And now it's at 257.
I was just going to ask if he gets like a number on a badge or something.
We encourage everybody to become a GLOW. But we're getting about, on average, around 10 a month.
Remember, Jason, when there were possibly 40 in the entire state?
Yeah.
That wasn't too long ago.
No, it was always a bit of a struggle to get people involved at one point, wasn't it?
Everyone. We've got to beat them off with a stick, and no, we don't do that. So please join.
No sticks are involved. Do you think, guys, that the Vic Police are more inclusive today than you initially assumed?
For me, I definitely think so. Probably one of my best memories so far is the day that marriage equality was passed. I had nearly every single member of my squad come up to me and give me a hug and say congratulations. So to me, that just shows how much the world has changed, and that this new recruitment drive that we're going through is really bringing through people that are inclusive and respectful and accepting of people that are from different areas of the community. So yeah, I definitely think that we're seeing a change. Obviously, it's not everybody, but I definitely think the large majority of people are inclusive now. It's fantastic to see.
Gabby?
I was just going to say, I like what Courtney said about that they are the change. The people that are joining are really leading that change. And I think that's a really good message.
You've got Gabby's endorsement. You can stay. Jeremy, what would you say to a young LGBTI person, or indeed someone of any age within the LGBTI community, if they are interested in becoming an officer, but they're worried about feeling safe and accepted in the force?
I think, I guess similar to what I did, try and pop into a station and just have a conversation with an employee, find out who your local GLOW officers are, a gay and lesbian liaison officer. You know, you can also contact us. I'm sure it will be easy to find. Just having conversations around the experience, what the culture is like, what involvement you have with the community, I think that would be the best thing to do, because it's well and good to have your own perspective and think about your own perspective, but it's another thing to hear it coming from the horse's mouth and actually talking to employees and champions like us who really want more people from the community to join, because it's a fantastic experience.
Actually, just before the show, we were having a chat about members of the community joining up, and I said, you know, if we felt that anybody was in danger or in an unsafe place joining the academy, we certainly wouldn't be asking people to come on board. And it's so lovely that we can understand that people are having such a great experience out there, and we can confidently say, hey, if you're from the LGBTI community, the academy is a good place to be, you'll be supported, and we can put that positivity around it rather than, you know, being worried that if they come through they might have a negative experience. So yeah, we definitely encourage anybody to apply.
It's exciting stuff, everyone. Thank you so much for being part of our podcast today. Again, we were speaking to Constable Jeremy Oliver and Constable Courtney Colkill. Good luck with your careers moving forward.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you, of course, to Gabby and Jen.
Thanks, Jason.
And don't forget to rate the podcast.
Yes, or we will come after you with our sticks. Not really.
That we don't have.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.